It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Dynasty Podcast. I am Ryan Wormley, joined today by Scott Bogman and not by Pat Fitzmaurice. We were joined by a guest that Fitz was kind enough to book who is even smarter than he is. It's Cody Carpentier of Roster Watch. Cody, thank you so much for joining us today.
Boys, I appreciate you having me on, and that's a pretty high bar you just set right there. That's one of the GOATs. That's one of the OGs, Pat Fitzmaurice. So I appreciate you guys having me on.
Fitz is enjoying a well-deserved vacation this week, so we are thrilled to have Cody on in his stead. Today, we are doing a Dynasty Rookie three-round mock draft. That's the entire show. We're just going through 36 picks here, you know, 12-team league. Super flex. We're not doing tight end premium. We're not doing anything like that. Just a straightforward rookie mock draft here, so we'll get through our top 36 players. Just so everybody knows who's listening, you can find all of our early 2024 consensus rankings and tiers at fantasypros.com/rankings. From there, you can also navigate to our staff rookie rankings as well on the site. I'll be relying heavily on those staff rookie rankings since I am not quite the expert that Bogman and Cody are, but I will try to do my best to keep up here. As Cody is the guest, we have given him the first pick. I'll be picking second, Bogman third. We're not like snaking it or anything. We're just going 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, who we would take at these slots.
Can
Bogman, does that make sense?
Can we trade picks? That's what I want to know.
I don't want to deal with tracking that. So I'm going to say there are no trades in this mock. Maybe we'll do one later in draft
season. Well, the Ravens, I mean, trades. Your strategy should be just sit where you are and take whoever the best player is available, because that's what the Ravens do.
And it's worked out well for them, for the most part. So I'll try and emulate that strategy. We will dive right in here at the very top. So Cody, kick us away with the first overall pick.
All right. Well, I'd like to offer my first overall pick to Scott. I want all three of your picks, and then we'll I'm just kidding. No, I'm going to start out first and foremost, number one overall. I have to go with Caleb Williams at this point. The combine this coming week is going to tell us, I think, a little bit about the process for Caleb, as well as the other quarterbacks, Drake May and Jaden Daniels. As far as the NFL landing spots, I think that Atlanta's spot, if they do go after a quarterback and it's going to be one of these top end guys, is going to potentially be a game changer in fantasy football. If a Jaden Daniels or a Drake May lands at Atlanta, I think there's going to be a lot of arguments about putting one of these guys at number one overall. But right now, the things we know today, Caleb Williams looks like the bona fide number one overall pick in the NFL draft to the Chicago Bears. So I'm going to stick with him here, number one overall in Superflex.
Let me ask you, Cody, how close is it? Because I've seen a lot of Superflex mocks where Harrison still goes number one. I think he is probably the safest of all the prospects here. Is it razor thin? Is it because it's Superflex? Is it Caleb by a mile? And, you know, just like what is the range between Marvin Harrison at this pick plus the other two quarterbacks who are also very good?
For me, honestly, I feel really good about three of these wide receivers, Marvin, Malik Nabers, and Roma Dunze. And because it's super flex, I lean towards the quarterbacks. And my first two picks would be quarterback, and Drake May currently number two in that conversation. I think, like I mentioned before, Daniels, the conversation has risen quickly. You go back to October before the real hype started. He wasn't even in the second round of mock drafts. Then he was in second round in like November, and now it's all of a sudden top five overall. So when the draft does come around, if he lands potentially in an Atlanta, like I mentioned before, he could vault himself, I believe, ahead of a Marvin and ahead of a Malik Nabers as well. So for me, it's I'm rolling quarterback as it stands.
Got you.
Bogman, Caleb would have been your pick as well, right, Boggs?
It's a little closer for me. And the reason I would have taken Caleb over, because, I mean, it's kind of like last season when Anthony Richardson was, you know, for the NFL, he's firmly third. But for fantasy, because he offers the rushing upside, he was one. I think the difference here is exactly what Cody was talking about, is that Drake May and Caleb Williams were one and two coming into the process and still are. So I think they're just so much safer than Jaden Daniels, who was very good, obviously won the Heisman and everything, but he is somewhat of a one-year wonder, which we've seen more of those guys flame out in the NFL. So I just think it's safer. It's still a super flex, like Cody said. So I'm still going quarterback with the first two picks.
I'm up with pick number two. If I was in a situation where I was absolutely loaded at receiver and needed a quarterback, given it's super flex, I would, you know, consider Daniels or May or whoever my QB2 of choice is. But I'm not going to overcomplicate things. I'm just going to take Marvin Harrison Jr. I mean, we kind of throw the generational label around a lot. Like Bijan Robinson was a generational running back. Kyle Pitts was a generational tight end. Marvin Harrison Jr. sure seems like a generational wide receiver. There are other guys that are very, very close to him in this class as well. So it's such an exciting class for that reason. But like I said, I'm not going to overcomplicate it. I think these are going to be one and two in most, you know, rookie drafts that you see around, you know, barring some sort of individual team need being, you know, on the extreme. But I'll take Harrison Jr. at two.
For me at three, I'll go ahead and take Drake May. I think once again, you know, Jaden Daniels has a higher ceiling. I think we have to admit that. We have to understand that. And he is going to be taken third. So maybe there's something to it where, I mean, I think he's going to be taken third. He could go second. We've seen that in mocks. I still think Drake May is so much safer that I am going to rely on him and his skill. And he also rushes. He's not, you know, Caleb really moves from side to side. He doesn't go north-south that much. He's in the pocket. He's moving in the pocket. He's manipulating. May designed runs, lots of design runs. And that is the plan. A lot of the time when he takes one look down the field, he doesn't see anything he likes and he runs. He had a lot of those. He can be utilized in RPO as well. And just quarterbacks in general in a super flex are just worth so much more because of the simple math. 32 jobs, right? There's three wide receivers on every team. There's two running backs on most teams in terms of like starters. So, you know, there's only 32 of these jobs. Three or four of those are kind of questionable. I mean, who's the starter for Pittsburgh, right? You know, plenty of teams kind of have that musical chairs of quarterback. There's really 28 of them. So the bigger your league in a super flex, the more quarterbacks hold value. So there's a lot of good skill position players here, especially a wide receiver and Brock Bowers, a tight end. But I still have to stick with the QB. So give me Drake May.
I think that makes a lot of sense. It's a really fascinating section of rookie drafts right here. Like I said, I think you're going to see one and two pretty similar, but the order between Drake May, you know, again, Jaden Daniels with that ceiling, seeing what the landing spot is, and Malik Nabers, who I know, Cody, you're really high on in sort of this 3-4-5 range. I'm really curious to see how it plays out, not only today, but in you know, really all rookie mocks and real drafts going forward. Cody, who are you taking it for?
This is a tough conversation for me, and I've been on Jaden Daniels the last couple of weeks, and I actually had a conversation with somebody earlier today, and it's just leaning me more towards Malik as I'm, you know, like that's why I love doing so many shows, because people are asking you different questions and you get to really think about your process more in depth, and you're like, well, if I already think about this in this way, why don't I have this guy ranked in this spot? And so I'm taking Malik Nabers here at pick number four overall. Malik Nabers, you talk about other players in the class. Malachi Corley is known as the Yak King. 70% of his yards came after the catch in over his career. Malik Nabers had 41% of his yards come after the catch as well. He's a player coming from LSU that, you know, he fits the archetype build, which is not yesteryear's build of the 6'4", 225-pound wide receiver. He fits the 6-foot, 200-pound everybody you can think of that has finished top 10 in fantasy points over the course of the last decade, you know, whether it is Odell Beckham, Stephon Diggs, Justin Jefferson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, he fits that archetype and that ability. I think he has elite acceleration, change of direction at the catch point, and I think yards per route run, he was number one this year. I love Malik Nabers. I think he's the safest wide receiver in the class to draft.
Ooh.
I know that's maybe a hot take. Marvin Harrison's a really, really good wide receiver. Think he's the best, but the safest in the class, I believe, is Malik Nabers. I'm going to take him here at four ahead of Jaden Daniels.
Cody, if Jaden Daniels had gone three, if that's where Boggs had gone, just kind of aiming for that rushing upside, would you have taken Nabers over May, or would you have taken May?
I would have taken May. May is like I mentioned before, I have it Caleb and Drake. Drake, yeah. And Caleb, that's kind of where my 1-2 sits right now. And that value of getting Drake at four would be, I would like that.
Is Nabers closer to, I mean, I think because of what you said, he's closer to Marvin than he is Odunze, right?
Correct. This is a, it's to be honest with you, this, again, this is, people don't want to talk about this stuff. This is, you know, the conversation that gets, I didn't even try to lure people in on Twitter. I just asked the question, why isn't Malik Nabers closer to the conversation with Marv? And people came after it. And the point more so is giving the respect to Malik Nabers, what he brings to the table. If there's no Marvin, Malik is in that conversation. Malik's already in the conversation to be fourth or fifth in this draft. Marvin just happens to be there at three. Malik is a special, special, special talent, and I believe is in that same conversation. I have them one and one. I don't have a number two in the class. I have one and one. And my man Alex Dunlap at Roster Watch, you know, he calls me a coward for that, for not picking one. But that's where I'm at right now. I'm not ready to, you know.
It's February. You don't have to have your final grade on these guys yet. We haven't even hit the combine.
Exactly. I think it's more of a positive towards Nabers, though. I don't want that to be any detraction towards Marvin Harrison, because Marvin Harrison is a special, special talent. But I believe Malik is in the same category.
Is there a landing spot scenario where you could see yourself preferring Nabers to Harrison in rookie drafts? Like, let's say the Patriots pass up a quarterback, so Harrison gets kind of stuck there without a clear quarterback option, and Nabers goes to either Arizona with Kyler or even Los Angeles with Herbert. Would you maybe have Nabers ahead of Harrison in your rookie drafts?
Bingo. Yes. I mean, and that's not knowing what New England does at quarterback. If New England takes Marv, and let's say they, you know, they try to go get Kirk or Russ, or maybe they wait till round two and they get a Bo Nix, like, we'll see what happens, what that trajectory looks like for Marvin as a rookie. But if Malik goes to Arizona, sign me up every day of the week. That's really going to be the situation for fantasy football.
Yeah, I'm taking Jaden Daniels with the fifth pick. It was going to be whichever of these five guys got to me at five I was going to take. Obviously, high upside with the rushing ability. Heisman, you know, winner this last year, has improved every year in college a long time, but a really, really fun player to watch last season, and kind of the easy pick for me here given the super flex nature of it. So that'll send us back to Bogman.
Yeah, I mean, I like that pick. I think at this point it might be the obvious pick, being super flex for sure. And I mean, Malik Nabers, every single time I watch Malik Nabers, I like him a little bit more. And it's that like Antonio Brown like ability where he doesn't slow down. He doesn't slow down through breaks. His change of direction is unbelievably fast. He does contested catching better than Marvin, who doesn't really do that well. So these are all good picks. I think the next pick for me at six, it has to be Brock Bowers. And it's, you know, I know tight end is a little shaky. I know it's a little scary, especially after we were all in on Kyle Pitts. I was all over Kyle Pitts, and it didn't work out, right? But I think if you go to, if Brock Bowers lands pretty much anywhere, he is going to be at least the number two receiving option on that team. So a difference maker like Travis Kelce, right? He's going to have to earn that. He's going to have to make that happen. But I think Brock Bowers immediately is a top five tight end. I think that he has the more potential than anyone else, even the guys that we saw that were amazing last year, Hockenson, Laporta. I think he has more upside than these guys as a receiver. We saw him dominate. I've called him skinny Shockey a bunch of times. I am just so enamored with this talent. Landing spot is going to be huge for him, but just stick him in Tennessee and let Will Levis throw dumps to him all game. Give him 10 catches for 96 and a score every single game. I can see this line for him already. So I am super excited about what Brock Bowers brings to the table.
Cody, it feels like consensus is one and two's a kind of a tier in terms of how it's being drafted. 3, 4, 5, kind of a tier, and 6, 7, kind of a tier. Do you see it similarly? Are you going to take kind of the consensus seventh guy here? And do you see it breaking up in that way?
I do see it breaking up the same way. I think when you attack these rookie drafts, you just want to be in the top seven. I think that's point blank, period. If you can get into that top seven, you're going to be happy, because even if you're sitting at seven, someone's going to fall to you in some fashion. This time it's Odunze. I've seen Bowers fall there. Hell, I was in a draft there tonight and May fell there because people preferred these receivers. It happens for you. And I think that's just being in the top seven is going to be where you want to be. For me, I don't have Bowers. You know, I have him in the next tier just because it's the art of the tight end. I don't like spending that high a draft capital on him. I do think he's going to be a little light, but I understand exactly why he's coming off right there. wholeheartedly, but my guy is going to be Roma Dunze, the wide receiver from Washington. Sorry, he had 167 receptions the last 2 years, 75% contested catches on targets, and his game speed is a little faster than what I think he's going to run at the combine. I'm not sure he runs in the 4.3s. I think he's probably going to be more of a 4.44 guy, but his game speed reminds me a lot of Ja'Marr Chase, and I think he is the clear-cut wide receiver 3 in this class, and I'm excited to get him here at number 7.
Before I make my pick at 8, which is kind of a tier break, I just want to quickly let everybody know that our mock draft simulator tool is now open at fantasypros.com/simulator. It's a fast and free way to practice for any kind of draft, including dynasty startup drafts and rookie drafts. Again, that's fantasypros.com/simulator. I almost wish we had done a different order because I feel like I shouldn't be one making the pick at 8 because it's such an interesting spot, right? There's such a clear top 7, and maybe you have a favorite of this next batch of wide receivers you want. Maybe you're desperate for a running back and we end up liking the landing spot of one of these guys. I'm going to play the draft capital game, and I'm going to give a little bit of trust in D-Bro and Thor, who I podcasted with earlier this week, who could not be more all in on J.J. McCarthy. Again, this is super flex. A quarterback is just inherently more valuable. It seems like he's definitely trending towards like maybe pick 8 with the Falcons. I know Thor would love to see him go to the Vikings. Some of these like pretty intriguing landing spots for a quarterback to go to. I'm not quite as gung-ho about him as D-Bro is, for example, who has him QB2 in the class. And Cody, I'm really curious to kind of get your opinion of Thor and D-Bro being so high on McCarthy. D-Bro's quarterback rankings, and everybody should tune into their NFL draft show to hear them dive deeper on this. He has Jaden Daniels 1, J.J. McCarthy 2, Caleb Williams 3, and Drake May 4. So he's very willing to go out on a limb there and not, you know, kind of go against the grain. Obviously, Cody, you were somebody who kind of went against the grain with Will Levis just a year ago, so you're not afraid to do that either. What do you think about that ranking from D-Bro and Thor?
Is that an NFL-based ranking or is that fantasy-based?
It's kind of both. If you look at their rankings on our staff rankings page for fantasy, that is what it matches up as. They fully expect Caleb to go higher, but D-Bro was saying that he just really likes McCarthy that much.
Okay, that makes sense. 100%. Yeah, I think the accuracy, the winning mentality, the build he brings to the table is a lot similar. It's similar to Desmond Ridder, but I think he's more accurate. I think he's more athletic. Ridder's pretty athletic. And I think just as far as being a winner, accurate, being able to push that ball downfield when he needs to. They really didn't need him to do that stuff in Michigan this past year. So I completely get it. And I think you're going to continue to see the J.J. McCarthy rise in ADP in these super flex drafts. And you can see him, I believe, get all the way up to being ahead of that guy we just talked about, Bowers and Adunze, into that Daniels conversation. So I don't think D-Bro's off really at all. These four quarterbacks, the conversation is going to be tighter. And I believe in Indianapolis next week, hopefully Caleb Williams decides to throw the football, but I think McCarthy, Daniels, May, Nix, and Penix are all going to get to throw side by side, and it's really going to tell us the difference between these guys. And I'm not against it. I got McCarthy at 4, but that's kind of just chalk right now, and that's just where I'm holding Pat. But I really kind of hold the quarterback conversation until we get to Indianapolis.
I do think if he ends up going, let's say, to the Falcons at 8 in that landing spot, I think it will become a consensus top 8 in rookie drafts, not top 7. I think in super flex drafts, of course. Boggs, who's your next pick?
By the way, Cody, you know Caleb ain't going to throw projected number one overall pick. There's no reason for him to do anything outside of interviews. So
I'm just
going to
bring it up on as many shows as possible to hope that somehow it gets there. And he's like, man, maybe I should throw it.
You're manifesting it. You're manifesting it.
Not going to happen.
I love it. Now look, I think you made the absolute correct pick here, Worm, especially the draft capital pick, right? We talked about it before. There's just a limited amount, a finite amount of QBs that can start in the NFL. There are not 32 caliber NFL starting quarterbacks in the league right now. Maybe there will be after this draft, but there aren't as it stands right now. We watched a lot of bad quarterback play last year. So I think the McCarthy pick is a very, very smart pick. I gave myself 9 to put myself to the test here. Which of these wide receivers do I like the most, really? And just looking at it, my gut, I have to go with Troy Franklin. I mean, I just cannot get some of these acrobatic plays that he makes out of my head. He is so good downfield. I think he's going to be a little late in the process, so he could go to a team that already has a good QB, Buffalo, Kansas City, somewhere like that. I think he's sitting pretty right now as his draft stock holds to end up in a very, very good spot. And I just can't get, he's got size, he's got speed, he's got everything, gigantic catch radius. I think if you put him in last year's class, there's arguments for him to be the first wide receiver off the board. So, you know, I think he's being a little overlooked because there's so much elite talent at the top. And Brian Thomas led the league, it led the country in receiving touchdowns. You know, Keon Coleman has the enormous size. There's two, you know, great prospects from my Longhorns. So, but Troy Franklin is an absolute beast. He has everything you could want. And I'm super excited to watch him in the NFL. So that's going to be my pick at 9.
I love Franklin. Prior to this rise from McCarthy, Franklin would have been my pick at 8 in a lot of these drafts. Again, a separation from the top 7. But I really like Franklin. Cody, what do you think about him?
Franklin was my pick there. He's my wide receiver 4 in the class right now for fantasy football. And I'm just going to couple it right into my pick, which is everything you said about Troy Franklin, I think works in favor of Adonai Mitchell from Texas, 6'4", 195 pounds, outside of the speed. I don't think the speed is quite the same level, but the contortion ability that Adonai Mitchell plays with, the red zone dependability and just straight up dog mentality that he has. I watched him all year. Like I'm a Longhorn fan. I don't really want to say I'm a fan of anybody, but I work for orangebloods.com. So I just insane. Yeah. VY there, right there. I just get an insanely, a large amount of delved into Longhorn football, and every single week Adonai came up clutch in spots they needed him to. And I think the draft capital is going to be a bit higher in the NFL draft, and just coupling that with a Troy Franklin, I think they're in the same tier. I think they're in the same conversation. And I mean, Troy Franklin, man, reminds me a little of a Devonta Smith. Ray GQ didn't love that. I told him that last week, didn't love it, but I like me some Troy Franklin.
I think that's really interesting comp, actually. Yeah. I just did a rookie comp show with Debro and Thor, and it's funny because they are both very down on Mitchell. So I love doing multiple shows with different points of view, kind of like you alluded to, Cody, because you really get to kind of learn a lot in hearing these different perspectives, because they both were much lower on Mitchell than his teammate Xavier Worthy, for example. What do you think about that, Bogman, as an actual Texas guy?
Well, what's funny is Pat, actually, he and I had like an offline conversation about this. He said, who do you like more of your Texas guys? And I said, well, I think if you're talking plug and play, ready to go right now, it's Adonai. I think Mitchell is the guy right now. But I think if you're talking about ceiling, I think it has to be Worthy. If Worthy has unteachable speed, that's exactly what it is with him. So he doesn't, his routes are fine for what he's asked to do. But I just think with a little more, you know, tinkering, you know, getting off the line, running a more complete route tree, snapping off some of those routes a little quicker, I think that he could be easily one of the best wide receivers in the league, not just this class. So Worthy has a lot of talent too. By the way, Cody and I have, I think, the same chair and the same background here, and we're both Texas guys. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So everybody should check out YouTube to see that I'm broadcasting.
Mine's
the
not
twins
that big,
here.
But it has a lot of red in it too. So
well, I'm also going to take a Longhorn. I've actually torn on which one I'm going to take. I know it's actually like kind of going against the grain in this year's class. You know, there's a lot of talk that there shouldn't be a running back in the first round. I'm going to take Jonathan Brooks. I think he's RB1 in the class. I think that would be a little even more obvious if not for the injury stuff. He can do a lot of different things. He catches passes. I mean, he's just a talented guy. And it's so hard because running backs are so like devalued in Dynasty right now, but you still need good running backs to win. At the end of the first round, I think it's fine value. I'm happy to take. There shouldn't be 3 or 4 running backs in the first round, right? I'm obviously given the scope of the class, but I'm very happy to get Brooks towards the end of the first round. And I don't know if I just broke, broke Boggs' heart or not, because he does have another Longhorn he could take instead at pick 12.
Don't worry, I will. I'll just go ahead and say it. I'm going to take Xavier Worthy as my last pick here. But I think just expanding on your Brooks point, Cody, let me ask you this. If Brooks comes into the season healthy, into the process, the draft process healthy, where does he go? And by how big of a gap is he the number one running back? Because to me, I don't think it's really a question. Like, he's definitely the number one running back if he's healthy coming in. And how high does he go?
If he comes into the, well, he wins the Doak Walker Award, which is wild because then Texas would have back-to-back Doak Walker Award winners. Unfortunately, he didn't get to do that. I'm not sure how fast he runs. I've had that conversation with a lot of people, whether he runs. Some people think he was going to run a 4.45. Some people think he's a 4.62 guy. I think he's somewhere in between there in like the 4.52, 4.54 area, which is just fine for his build.
Yeah, I don't think it matters when you're the most elusive running back in the class. So
correct. And I think he reminds me a lot of Tony Pollard, and I think he is clearly the number one in this class if he's healthy. For me, really, it's just he and Braylon Allen in the class overall at the running back position. That's the top two for me. And of course, part of the Braylon Allen thing is just what he brings to the table from a size perspective, from a speed perspective, how he runs the football, and his age in fantasy football. So I think some of those things come into conversation. But so the gap is closed for me. I have Allen number one because of the injury and the age that does favor Allen and the size and things of that nature. But again, to answer your question, it would be the inverse. It would be Brooks number one by, you know, as far as we're talking dynasty value, by probably four or five slots overall in dynasty at the running back position.
I think I might go as high as Brooks with the 10th pick. I wouldn't take him over like Troy Franklin, who I just really, really adore. But I think in those last three picks of the first, it's fairly justifiable. So, Cody, you were back. Actually, let me give a quick recap here. So round one, we went from 1 to 12. Caleb Williams, Marvin Harrison Jr., Drake May, Malik Nabers, Jaden Daniels, Brock Bowers, Rome Odunze, pretty clear top seven. J.J. McCarthy, arguably a pretty clear number eight. Troy Franklin at 9. A.D. Mitchell at 10. Jonathan Brooks at 11. And Xavier Worthy at 12. So, Cody, you are back on the clock with the 201.
I'm sitting in a pretty interesting spot where I could go ahead and take the fourth consecutive Longhorn, or I could add to my Caleb Williams team a second quarterback in a Bo Nix or a Penix. But I don't really want to do that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and take that running back I just talked about, Braylon Allen. I'm good taking him anywhere in this area, 112, 201, 202. Braylon Allen, the running back out of Wisconsin, 235 pounds, 6'2". Should have had, you know, three consecutive 1,000-yard rushing seasons. Not, of course, on the level of Jonathan Taylor's, you know, three times 2,000 output at Wisconsin, but Braylon Allen's a really good running back. Reminds me in between the tackles of Ezekiel Elliott. He did put the ball on the ground nine times in college, four times this season. And in the receiving game, you know, he's adequate. He's fine. He grew year after year after year. And in the open field, I think the comp that I like better than the Zeke one. Zeke, I'd really just see in between the tackles the way he runs the football. But really, as a runner, I see a lot of Todd Gurley in Braylon Allen, and Allen's a little bit bigger than Todd Gurley. So Braylon Allen's my RB1, and I'm going to get him here at the 201.
Yeah, I would have considered Allen. I probably would have taken Allen with this next pick here at the 202. I really like him. I think, Bogman, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm higher on Allen than you and Fitz both are, right? You're not quite feeling it as much with him?
I mean, maybe not Fitz because he is the Badger. But
homerism aside,
yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I'm not really high on Braylon Allen. I thought he was slow. Now, Cody is absolutely right. He's young. He has a lot of chances. And I'm a little afraid of his open field prowess as well, because it looks like he goes out of his way to hit someone. Like, he really doesn't want to not be hit. He finds the safety and runs towards him instead of away from him because he wants to run him over. He's just take the green, man. So there's a little bit of it. I just think there's so much variance for Allen, because it's like, you know, if he does pick up the pace and he does you know, learn a little more on the job, he could be an absolute monster because of his size. But if he's too slow, he turns into, you know, one of 1,000 big backs that can't do anything in the league, right? So there's just too much variance for me to invest in him this high. So I wouldn't have him this high, but he's got a lot of potential. It's a very big back.
We're mock drafting rookies today, of course, but if you want an even deeper dive into all the twists and turns of the 2024 NFL draft season, our friends Thor Nystrom and Derek Brown have got you covered. They'll now be bringing you weekly NFL draft episodes right here on the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Football podcast feed all throughout the NFL draft season. The second episode dropped Wednesday as they explored some of the most polarizing prospects in this year's class. Definitely go check out that episode to find out why some of our picks today are right or wrong in the eyes of D-Bro and Thor. I am back on the clock here at the 202. Like I said, I probably would have taken Allen if he had been available. I'm going to make a pick that I'm really curious to get Cody's opinion on. I'm going to take Ladd McConkey. This is somebody who, he gets open. He has performed. I know he's had some injury stuff. I really like, I just saw, I think it was yesterday actually on Twitter, Daniel Jeremiah was evaluating cornerbacks, and he said basically he had the same note for every one of them, which was struggled against Ladd McConkey, obviously out of Georgia. just the type of receiver that I am really drawn to typically, you know, in terms of both real life and in terms of fantasy. I think he can catch, you know, just a ton of passes in the NFL. And I think he could sneak into the back of the first round and, again, get paired with one of these MVP-level quarterbacks that are picking in the back end. So I really like McConkey. And Cody, like I said, I'm curious what your opinion is on that pick, you know, in this spot.
One of my favorite notes through the draft process and going through all these guys was I found one of Kirby Smart saying, if it wasn't for YouTube, I wouldn't know who Ladd was. I was at a camp, and I was watching one of our cornerbacks, and he was making him look like we shouldn't be recruiting him. And wow. I thought I was just like blown away because he's like, we didn't know who this little white kid was. And he was making, you know, one of our 4 or 5 star cornerbacks look like he didn't deserve to be out there. I think Ladd McConkey is super interesting. I don't quite want to, you know, he did a great job at the Senior Bowl. I don't quite want to put him on the expectation, you know, track of a Tank Dell because he doesn't skate quite that way. But his routes are so, you know, herky jerky and so, you know, crisp at the cut point to change directions that I think he's going to translate pretty well to the NFL. And like you said, he's going to end up in an offense that's going to be on the north side of the NFL where it's not going to be one of these poor offenses that has a bad quarterback or a bad situation. He's going to be in a good spot. I like Ladd McConkey. He's one of the tougher ones, I think, to rank in the entire class because I think there's 18, 19 wide receivers that are good in the entire class. And quite frankly, when you start getting to 8 to 19, it's kind of tough to put guys in places.
Bogman, it looks like you're taking another wide receiver here with the 203.
Yeah, I mean, I'm close on Brian Thomas and Troy Franklin. I think it's very close between those two guys. So, you know, just unteachable talent here as well. Size and speed. You put it together. He has everything that is unteachable. So just teach him the rest, right? That is kind of we're getting traits. That's what we're buying here, and he already has done it. We've seen him produce at LSU. Obviously, there are questions. Can you do this by yourself, right? If you're a guy like Brian Thomas, or do you need a guy like Malik Nabers? Do you need to be a number two? So there are more questions on Brian Thomas than there are the top end talent in this tier. You know, there isn't even that talent, I think, with Mitchell and Worthy so much, at least not Worthy, you know, because he did it by himself before. So I think that Brian Thomas is a stud. And once again, a lot like Troy Franklin, he is one of these guys that seems to be a borderline first and second round pick, which means you could be going to a spot like, you know, put him in Cincinnati with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase on the other side. Bring the LSU crew back, right? I mean, that would be an amazing spot for him. Or if he lands in like Carolina, you're instantly the number one and you're getting peppered with targets every single game. So I think his landing spot right now as it stands is in a very good situation. I think he's a super talented guy. And that's what we're doing. We're taking traits here. And Brian Thomas, one of my favorite wide receivers in this class.
Cody, who are you going with at 204?
I think the Brian Thomas fall or slide does end right there at 203. I think that's a good spot to take him. I don't think he's deserving of the 108, 109 conversation that he's getting. I think his game is a little volatile. And I do believe, like you mentioned, Cincinnati, Dallas, Philly, something like that. Yeah. He needs an offense that's going to be creative and utilize him downfield in that stretch ability, kind of like he was at LSU. That would be the conversation to get me hyped up for Brian Thomas. But I'm not sure the Carolina, like some of these scarier offenses that aren't creative and don't know how to utilize some receivers, that would turn me off a little bit for Brian Thomas. But 204 here, I'm gonna end the quarterback slide. I feel good about taking a Bo Nix at 112, 201, kind of that same area I talked about Braylon Allen. Nix, some conversations up to, you know, the Saints pick in the first round, the Raiders pick in the first round, but also into the second round. And we'll see what happens on draft day. But right now, I feel good about what Bo Nix brings to the table. You know, most career starts in college football history, 60 or 61. Bo Nix is going to get drafted in the top 40. And I think he's going to be an opportunity to play in year one and definitely in year two. So I'm going to take Bo Nix here at 204 in Superflex.
Yeah, I was really curious when the next quarterback was going to go.
I want to know, Cody, what do you think about the opinion? I've heard some of the draft evaluators say, well, what about Auburn? What about that year he was so bad at Auburn? Why do we care? That was so long ago. Like you said, 60 starts. Like, what have you done for me lately, right?
How about the fact that he played as a freshman and he's grown through those things, and it's not about where you started, it's where you're at, and he's in a pretty good spot, I'd say, going into the NFL.
Cody, what do you make of the fact that we have three quarterbacks, you know, Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, obviously Michael Penix will go at some point, that have been in college for so long that are relevant names in this class?
Honest answer, it scares me a little bit, like the Nix, the Penix, that type of conversation with these guys that have played for so long, because it's abnormal. It's not something we're used to. We're used to the guys that are, you know, they fire off the year three or year four and they come out. You know, it technically, on a statistical standpoint, it should help them, because, like I said, 60 starts is a lot different than Mitchell Trubisky's 15 when he came out of North Carolina, or maybe it was 14, whatever. They're a lot more primed and ready to be in the NFL. But then also you ask the question, why did it take them so long to get to this point? I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what their career arcs actually look like in the NFL.
I'm going to stop the Keon Coleman slide. It's not really me planting my flag as like a Coleman guy. There's a lot of red flags, you know, that other people have rightfully pointed out, you know, about kind of what he's bringing to the table. But the highlight reel is so fun. You know, some of the stuff that he can do with contested catches just looks like, oh, that guy like should be a stud. And I wonder if he somehow, you know, gets in that back end of the first round. I know some people doesn't think he belongs there, but if he gets paired up, if he's the receiver that the Chiefs end up going with, right? Or if the Bills go after him, or if one of these, again, late first round teams, I'll be really interested to see what he looks like, you know, in kind of a better offense with an elite quarterback. But I get why he's falling also, because there's some fun stuff to watch, but there's also a lot of red flags.
Yeah, Bogman. Coleman is one of those guys that, where, you know, that's the ultimate. Are you Mike Evans, or, you know, are you a Jag? That's pretty much it. The speed, there's not a lot of in between there, right? It's like you're winning with your size, you're dominating because of it. But are you fast enough to keep up? Can you make those contested catches in the NFL like you did against, you know, the backup corners at Wake Forest and stuff like that? You know what I mean? The NFL is a different animal. If you could still do it at this level, you become a Michael Pittman, a Drake London, you know, a Mike Evans, one of those top tier upper echelon wide receivers with size. If not, you're, you know, Alan Lazard. So you're a backup, you know, that there's just not a lot of in between, which makes those guys riskier, which is why they fall. And I appreciate you stopping that fall, because it means I can take Michael Penix and go back to my quarterback math here. And look, Penix made me a believer, obviously, watching him just drop passes into an absolute bucket against Texas. Absolute dimes this guy was throwing in that game. It was probably his best game as a collegiate player after some unbelievable games this guy has had. Didn't look as good against Michigan. Stock has dropped. Didn't look good in the Senior Bowl process. Stock has dropped. When we get to medicals next week, stock could drop even a little bit more because he had an extensive injury history at Indiana. But I think this is I'm going to take Penix. I know he's probably going to back up somewhere for a little bit. I'm hoping that place is Tampa Bay. Put him behind Baker Mayfield for an offense that all they want to do is pass the football the entire time. Let's do that. Let's get him there. Let's put him in Minnesota behind whoever ends up being the starter in Minnesota, right? Let's pair him with Kevin O'Connell or go to the Rams. I want him to sit for a year and then start. That's what I want for him. Even as an older prospect, I want him to sit for a year and then start. And I think that's probably best case scenario for him. So let's stop the QB slide of Penix and move on from there.
Cody, how wide a gap do you see between Bo Nix and Michael Penix? So we talked on a recent show, you know, with Fitz, how Michael Penix is one of those guys like that Wink Martindale says, like, can throw a strawberry through a battleship. Like, the arm talent is insane. But again, obviously there's red flags there as well. Otherwise he wouldn't have gotten to this point. Do you see a pretty wide gap there between Penix and you took Bo Nix a couple spots earlier?
No, I don't really see a huge difference. I think they're going to go pretty like just like this, like nearly back to back picks in these super flex drafts. I think landing spot's going to be, you know, I keep saying it's the quarterback position, but it's how I really feel. Like if a Penix does end up in a Minnesota type of a situation, they just give him the keys. we're gonna have a real conversation in our hands, because that's a good spot to be in with Jefferson, Hawkinson, and Addison. So I think that is something that could vault a Penix up as well as a Knicks. And quite honestly, the Senior Bowl, these guys both disappointed in their own ways, and I think they just kind of fit into a bucket together. I don't think there's really much of a separation between the two.
They do it way different, but they do it about the same.
Yeah. 15 of our first 18 picks so far are either quarterbacks or wide receivers. There have been two running backs taken and one tight end. Are you continuing the pattern here, Cody, or are you going to take another running back? Or
I'm going to end it here. I'm going to end it here with a Longhorn. I'm going to go Jatavion Sanders. This is the area I take tight ends. I don't like taking tight ends in the first round. I'm just not a big fan of the idea. And Jatavion Sanders for me is in tier two by himself by a clear shot. As big as the tier is between Brock and Jatavion Sanders is the same distance. Maybe it's bigger between Jatavion and the next tight end. I'm going to take him here at the 207, and I'm just going to keep on chugging along. And you look at Yak for the tight end position, Brock Bowers, 58% of his career yards after the catch. Sorry, 58% of his yards came after the catch in his career, and Jatavion Sanders, 48%. So it's not really that big of a difference. And actually, there's another tight end in the class, Jaheim Bell, that had a 69% number for that statistic. And that's something that I look at for the tight end position itself. Sanders has been great the last 2 years at Texas.
Cody, do you think there will be – we're only doing three rounds today. Do you think there will be any other quarterbacks or tight ends taken? Because it feels like there's kind of now a gap between at both of those positions with who's left.
I will bet on zero tight ends and one quarterback.
Okay. I was curious. What do you think about that, Boggs?
I think, yeah, zero tight ends, two quarterbacks, I think. Okay.
By now, most of you have probably heard of Reality Sports Online, the powerful fantasy sports platform where owners get to build and manage their fantasy team like an NFL general manager. But the question is, have you tried it? It's time to go see what all the buzz in the Dynasty community is about. Free agency, multi-year contracts, a rookie draft, multi-team trades, franchise tags, contract extensions, first-round rookie options, automated contract and salary cap functionality, and much, much more. Think it sounds complicated? It's not. The best thing about Reality Sports Online Fantasy Front Office is that it doesn't take any more time than a standard league. It just requires more strategy. Think you're among the fantasy elite? Well, this is the platform to test your mettle. Still not sure? You can test out your general manager skills for free in a mock free agency auction. If you like what you see, use the promo code FANTASYPROS to receive a 10% discount on your team or league today. That's promo code FANTASYPROS to receive a 10% discount on your team or league today. Fantasy just got real at Reality Sports Online.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddy, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C.,
and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I am on the clock here, and I tried to spend that ad read thinking about who I wanted to take. Like you guys kind of alluded to, very largely running backs and receiver heavy the rest of the way. I'm going to take the third running back. There's like three or four names that I actually feel like I could make a case for and would be interested in. I'm going to take Trey Benson. Just, you know, breaks so many tackles. He's another guy I think was talked about on that polarizing players episode with D-Bro and Thor, where they are certainly in disagreement. But I love the tackle breaking ability. You know, there's going to be red flags with any running backs the rest of the way. So I recognize that he's not a perfect prospect, but I'm going to take the third running back off the board here and send it over to Boggs for the 209.
I like Trey Benson, but we talked about him a little bit last week. I feel like he runs a little upright. There's a, you know, I feel like he will break tackles if he's leaning right, but in the other scenarios, he's kind of pushed over kind of easily because his body weight isn't distributed very well. Cody, what do you think about Trey Benson?
I think Benson's very interesting. He had an incredible knee injury at Oregon and then transferred to Florida State. I was disappointed, I will say, throughout the season. I wanted to see him take that. I felt like the RB1 position in this class, outside of Travion Henderson, who of course went back to Ohio State, I thought it was just on a silver platter handed to Trey Benson, and he just never took it. He just sent it back to the kitchen. And, you know, when Jordan Travis went down at the latter part of the year, I was like, okay, Benson, step it up. I want to see a 160 and 3 touchdowns. Take this thing. Take this team to the college football playoff and kind of cement yourself. He just never did it. So I was kind of disappointed in that aspect. But I do think Benson's going to test pretty well. There's rumors. I was listening to Rick Spielman the other day on a podcast, and he thinks that Benson's going to run in the low 4.4s. So I think that would be an interesting conversation at the running back position.
It really would be. I'm going to go ahead and take a running back as well. This is my favorite non-Jonathan Brooks running back, of course, as a homer. And also just Brooks is amazing in this class. I'm going to take Bucky Irving, the running back out of Oregon. I do think that Bucky Irving is role specific, right? I do think that he has to fit in a certain offense. This pick is probably just me dreaming about how good he would look in Philly. If you put him in Philly next to Jalen Hurts running that RPO, he can catch those quick short passes from Jalen Hurts as well. I just have these visions of Irving going nuts, dancing in my head. I think he would be a better version of what they had from Swift last year. Explosive player. I don't know that he has elite level speed. He's very, very fast, but I don't know that he is Devin Achane fast. You know what I mean? I think he is maybe Singletary-ish in that regard, but I think he's a very good running back. I think he fits very well in certain schemes, and I think one of those teams is likely to draft him so he fits. So depending on where he goes, there's going to be a lot of variance for all these running backs, but I think Bucky may not be a 20-touch-a-game guy, but he's a guy that's going to break a couple big runs and has some huge games for you. So I'm a Bucky Irving fan for sure, and that's who I'm going to take in this spot.
Cody, we're at the 210, three picks left in the second round. Who are you taking?
This is an easy one for me. This is one of my guys. This is the range where I just start taking guys I want on my team, guys I think project well, and that's Javon Baker out of Central Florida, wide receiver. I think he's a great route runner, sudden in and out of breaks at a high level. I think his ball skills are second to few in the class. He's had an interesting career, super high highs. He, you know, was part of a championship team at Alabama, transferred out, and went for 1,000 yards at Central Florida, won Big 12, all Big 12 player this past season. He's probably going to go in the third round of the NFL draft, and I think he has an ability to have a career arc like a Stephon Diggs, who was a fourth round pick after being a highly recruited prospect out of high school.
I am going to take another wide receiver here. There's actually a handful of running backs I still am quite interested in this range. But sort of like what you're saying, Cody, I think this is the right range of rookie drafts to say, like, I just get the guy that you kind of want and that you're really interested in, and not like play the game of, oh, yep, is the value right? Oh, is he going to get to my next pick or whatever? I'm going to take Malachi Corley. Just the skill set is super fun to watch. He's a guy that I have been seeing a lot of people talk about as like, more people need to be paying attention to this wide receiver, you know, pretty much everywhere over social media lately. So I'm just going to make sure that I get him, and, you know, tackle breaker, just really fun, versatile guy. And I'm curious, Cody, what you think of that pick.
This is the Yak King right there, self-proclaimed, yes, Yak King. He's got a chain that says it. He wore it to the Senior Bowl. This guy's got some big mitts. He had over – this is one of the most wild statistics, I think, of the whole process. He's got over 2,100 yards after catch, not 2,100 receiving yards in total, yeah, in his career. 2,100 Yak yards. Doesn't insane even make English. He's a stud. He's going to be a second-round pick in the NFL draft.
Yeah, I'm feeling really good about that one. Bogman, wrap up round two for us.
I love that pick, Worm. You know, and there's a lot of these wide receivers to pick through, right? And there's a lot of good ones. And it's just, what do you think the best skill is, right? For me, it's Ricky Pearsall and, you know, running routes and just being open. And then even when he's not open, making those – I mean, he had probably the best catch in college football last year, that one-hander that he reeled in with three guys draped all over him. He had an incredible season, Pearsall did, at Florida. He's a crazy good route runner. I want to see him in Minnesota. I think if you put him in Minnesota in the slot where KJ Osborne, KJ Osborne would get the ball and fall down. He had, I think, zero missed tackles forced all season. I think Pearsall is going to do a little bit more with the ball in his hands. And also, even if he doesn't, he's already a good replacement for a guy like KJ Osborne in Minnesota. There's a lot of talent there, but they throw the ball so much. And look, get this out of your mind. Who cares about the Minnesota running back? As long as Kevin O'Connell's there, just don't worry about who the Minnesota running back is. They're not going to be good. So is Dalvin Cook is gone. Unless they spend a high draft pick on one, which they won't. They have too many needs. It's like fetch. It ain't happening. So let's put another wide receiver, another dangerous wide receiver in this crew. And then, you know, you're less worried about who your quarterback is. You can be the Niners, right? You can be a team that has all the talent around the good quarterback. And that's what I think Minnesota would do. And that's just my dream, is to see Ricky Pearsall in many.
I'll give a quick round two recap here. We had Braylon Allen, Ladd McConkey, Brian Thomas, Bo Nix, Keon Coleman, Michael Penix Jr., Jatavion Sanders, Trey Benson, Bucky Irving, Javon Baker, Malachi Corley, and Ricky Pearsall. Really interesting and pretty fun round, actually, there. Actually, we've got one round left here in our mock. Cody, 301, who you got?
I'm going to the wide receiver position, and I'm going to the Pacific Northwest to one of my favorite prospects in the class, Jalen Polk. He had 108 targets this past year, 15th in the country, overshadowed by Roma Dunze, overshadowed by Jalen McMillan. I think he dominates between the 5 and 15 yard of the line of scrimmage. He averaged 16.8 yards per reception this past year. I think he's going to be a guy that fits into an offense like an Adam Thielen, and I'm excited to get Polk here at the 301.
Polk was going to be my pick here at the 302, so you snaked me on him. I totally agree. Like, because of the offensive talent there, it's easy to not get as enamored as I think we maybe should be on Polk. I think he's really, really good, and I think whichever NFL team gets him is going to be really happy with the pick. What do you think about Polk, Bogman?
I mean, I love that pick, and I can tell you've been watching Spielman, because I think Polk is a Spielman guy as well. But the more you dig in on these wide receivers, and Polk is at, you know, he's low on a lot of people's lists. You want to watch the Yak King before you watch, you know, the guy who was second to Roma Dunze, right? Like, you want to see Ricky Pearsall has the highlight catches. Franklin and Thomas have some highlight catches. Like, Polk didn't do a lot of that, but when you watch him, the dude is always open. He is smoking these Pac-12 corners constantly. So yeah, he's another guy where you look at this class and you just go, this is so unbelievably deep, this wide receiver class, and not just at the top, but also through the mid tier and all the talent in it. You know, I took Ricky Pearsall over him. That may be a gigantic mistake, but Pearsall had a solid season. So Polk is very, very good, and like Cody said, very underrated as well.
With the 302, I want to take one of these running backs. I'm not sure which the right one is, so I'll be really curious your guys' reaction. We know that Fitz, actually, if you check online, has Blake Corum as his RB1 in the class currently. There's a lot of helium for Jalen Wright. I'm a personal, very big fan of Audric Estime. I loved watching him at Notre Dame. I really like Marshawn Lloyd. I think I'm going to go with Lloyd. He had a good performance at the Senior Bowl. I really liked him as a high school recruit, and I wanted him to go to Maryland. I didn't think it was likely he was going to because he's just too good, but you know, he was a local kid. I just really like the talent. I feel like he can do a lot of different things on the football field that I like. He's another person who running back that I think could end up in a landing spot where he has a decent shot at decent volume here, even as a rookie right off the bat. So early in round three, I like the value. I will take Marshawn Lloyd. Cody, what do you think about that one?
I love Marshawn Lloyd, man. He had a great Senior Bowl, was the best running back there, pretty clear cut. His lower quarter's a little lean. The calves are like – so Byron Lambert works over at Roster Watch. He calls it the Darren McFadden corollary, where the lower quarter of the calves are a little skinny, and they don't really match up with 217-pound frame up top. But I think Marshawn runs hard. He was a little banged up in college, but he's been a guy that – I wish you would have got a bigger workload so we could have saw what he looked like with 250 carries, but we just didn't get to see it at South Carolina or USC. But I think that's a good area for him, and a lot of these running backs are going to come off the board here, and I think he deserves to be one of them.
Criminally underutilized in college, right? Like big-time recruit out of high school, like you said, goes to South Carolina, underused. Then they bring in Rattler, so he's kind of in Rattler's shadow. He goes to USC, and you think, oh, well, put him in USC, put him in that offense. But I mean, everything goes through Caleb, and Austin Jones is great there too. So, you know, underutilized for sure, but proved himself in the Senior Bowl and moved his stock way up.
Bogman, who's your next pick?
Give me Corum. I got to stop the slide here. Maybe I should have done it where I took, where I took Bucky Irving, because Corum is, he has proven it on the field, right? And that's the thing, is that when you look at some of these other guys are more impressive physically than Blake Corum because he is a smaller guy. But when you watch it, you know, it's the essential. He's got that dog in him. He is not going down at first contact. He's pushing the pile. He is a small dude that plays like a large dude. He's a team captain, right? He's everything you want out of the position outside of he's 5'9", maybe 5'8", and not 5'11", and not 20 to 30 pounds heavier. So I think that we've had plenty of undersized guys come into the NFL and light it up. Very Ray Rice-ish Blake Corum is. I think that's probably the comp that a lot of people are going to end up having with him. And he can be a guy that can carry the full workload. And honestly, I think he just goes back to Jim Harbaugh, to the Chargers, who are going to be looking for a running back in the later rounds. I think that's where he's going to end up going. And I think Harbaugh is going to use him a lot like he did at Michigan a lot. So give me Corum here.
Yeah, Cody, where do you have Corum ranked amongst your running backs? Because like I said, Fitz, who is not here today, does have him RB1, and yet he's going round three of our rookie draft here.
Yeah, this is probably about the area. I have one more guy I would take before Corum, but I think Corum sits right in this 5'6 area as it stands. I'm just a little, he turns 24 this year. Like you mentioned, he's listed at 5'8. I've seen my fair share of guys listed at 5'8 and come in at 5'7 and a quarter and be, 205 pounds. Not really an elite pass catcher. He can do it. We saw him take a big workload in college. People don't want to hear this comp, but Chase Brown last year had a similar kind of go at it through college. I think Chase Brown runs equally as hard as Blake Corum does. I think Corum will be successful in the NFL, but I don't feel as good about him in fantasy as I do about a number of these other guys.
I think that's a fair assessment. Who do you got at 304?
So at 304 is going to be that last running back that I prefer to have over him. There's going to be a couple question marks that get answered here at the NFL Combine this next week. Dylan Johnson, I'm going to go back to Washington. Dylan Johnson showed us late in his career at Washington that he could take the workload. He bursted out against USC in a big game at the end of the year, finally cresting 1,000 total rushing yards. in this guy's career, he has 173 receptions in a four-year career at the running back position, which is ridiculous. Averaged 6 yards per reception in his output there. I'm just looking for some value here in the late third round. This is one of my guys in the class, and there's a foot injury that's concerning, and we'll see what happens. Like I said, this week they'll have a million MRIs done in Indianapolis, and he'll be a number of those guys trying to get checked out. And I think he's just a late round running back that gets drafted late fourth, early fifth, the NFL draft, and can get plugged in as a immediate satellite guy and grow into a three down back.
I'm going to, at the 305, kind of plant my flag a bit again. I really like Audric Estime. I think that he's the type of running back where, specifically in this class, I think he will have a role. And you like, there will be running backs in this class that will fill a role for you. There's not going to be a lot of like do-it-all obvious RB1 types, like obviously like the Bijan Robinsons of like a year ago. Estime is like 5'11", 230 or something like that. Like he scored 29 touchdowns the last two seasons at Notre Dame. I think he will get usage in the red zone. I think he has more to his skill set than he was maybe even necessarily used at Notre Dame. He's really fun for me to watch. He's also pretty young. He's not going to turn 21 until September. I just really like Estime's game. And in the middle of the third round, like if I need a running back at all, I'm really happy with that. Bogman?
You know what? You go and you look at the missed tackle force stat, right, from PFF, and it's Jonathan Brooks, and then it's Audric Estime, and it's, you know, they're doing it for different reasons, right? Because Brooks is, it's like everything is playing with a song with him dancing in between the tackles and everything. Estime is just running you down. He's running you over. You put out an arm, get out of here. You're not tackling him with an arm tackle. Sam Monson, I was listening to the other day, and he said he's going to be the A.J. Dillon replacement in Green Bay. And that is one of those that I cannot get out of my brain. He would be so good there, backing up Aaron Jones in Green Bay and potentially scoring a lot of touchdowns from short yardage. So
I think that's a really good spot. One. I also really like the possibility of him, you know, Gus Edwards is a free agent, just getting that role of like, get into the end zone 12 times a year and kind of save Lamar a bit in Baltimore. I would love if he was, you know, a mid-round pick for the Ravens too. I'm a big fan of his.
Yeah, just any team that needs a running back, I think would be good for him. But yeah, those hulking, like, you know, you don't want to risk that quarterback anymore. Put him on some of those teams, maybe even in San Francisco. You know, if CMC starts to break a little bit. I think I'm up next, right? I'm going to go Roman Wilson. I'm going to stop the slide for him. Obviously, Roman had an enormous Senior Bowl. So good that he just quit practicing on Thursday. He was like, I'm good. I've raised my stock enough. I don't need to play. I don't need to practice. I'm all set. We're all good here, which is the smart thing to do. I don't know that he's going to test off the charts, which may push him down a little bit just in the process, because everyone is so good in this class that, you know, it's like, what is the most impressive thing recently is probably going to be the thing that gets these guys drafted. So I do think he's a second, third round pick. I know that he got pushed up into the first after the Senior Bowl. I don't know if he is that guy, but again, a lot like his teammate JJ McCarthy, there could be more meat on the bone in terms of development for this guy, because we just didn't see him. They didn't need him a lot. The second half of 50% of the games, they weren't even throwing the ball at Michigan. So watching him a lot, seeing him make some acrobatic, impressive catches and be super impressive in this process, I think has raised his stock a lot. So I think he's going to go somewhere. I think he can be a day one starter for an NFL team, and he's still on the board because a wide receiver class is so elite this year.
Yeah, I kept looking at him and being like, I think I'll take someone else. But like, considering him for the last number of picks here, it really is a ridiculous class. Cody, the 307, you are up.
I was in the same boat. I kind of skipped over him the last two picks, and I really wanted to click the button. He was the last wide receiver inside of my top 10 wide receivers in the class. I'm going to go running back, though, here at the 307. This guy, electricity flows through his veins in the open field. I just got done doing the write-up over at rosterwatch.com. He's going to turn 21 years old just a few weeks before the draft. Jalen Wright, running back out of Tennessee. He was supposed to be down there at the Senior Bowl, was banged up, but he should be running at the NFL Combine. And the rumors are he's going to run 4.3. So we'll see what happens, and we'll see if that vaults him up around, because I've heard some people in the space talking about RB1. I'm not quite on that trajectory right now. I haven't seen it consistently enough. We haven't seen it really in the receiving game much at all. He's had two career games with 20-plus touches, and those were all carries, no receptions in those games. So Jalen Wright here, just on pure electricity, I'll take him at the end of the third.
I have taken only running back so far in the third, and each time I consider Jalen Wright as well. I think that's a really fun one and a really good spot to get him. Bogman, what do you think about Wright?
I think this is a good pick, and like you know, Cody said here, it's you're drafting the trait, and when you see this guy in the open field, it just go. You know, it's a lot like I got enamored with Jalen Hyatt, maybe a little too enamored with Jalen Hyatt last season, because it's just that pure speed. When you see it, it's so tantalizing, and you can just see the possibilities of what you could do with a guy like this. So, yeah, I mean, Jalen Wright is a very, very solid pick at running back.
I'm very curious to see the reaction to my next pick. I'm going to take Malik Washington, just like an electric guy to watch. I know he's shorter, but just this, I mean, the stat, 110 catches last year, 1,400 yards, 9 touchdowns. Again, just like the eye test, I just really like watching him play. And again, I think there's a role for him, you know, on a team that's going to use him the right way. Cody, what do you think of Washington?
I love Malik Washington. Showed out very well at the Shrine Bowl this year. I was down there live watching that. He forced 35 missed tackles in 2023 to go along with over 50% of those yards coming after the catch. He's not going to be respected in the high conversations in this class, but he's one of those guys, like I talked about, it's deep, and he's going to be in that, you know, 16, 17, 18, 19 conversation. And he doesn't deserve to be in 16, 17, 18, 19. He deserves to be closer to 10, 11, 12. But it's just the art of the class. And his size at 5'11", you know, 190 pounds, it's not ideal. It's DeMario Douglas-esque. But he's a really, really good wide receiver in the slot.
Bogman. Quicker than a hiccup. Quicker than a hiccup, right? That's the old, you know, put him in a phone booth. Be a great three-cone drill guy, yep, for sure. Just a guy that is so good at creating his own space with someone in his hip pocket and still making the catch. A very, very impressive player, Malik Washington. Very probably slot specific, yep, you know, which can, for fantasy, lower your value a little bit than a guy that can move in and out and all that stuff. Probably not an end zone threat either, but a guy that makes his own space and is going to be a high possession guy if he gets the opportunity. So I do like Malik Washington a lot.
Who you going with next?
Oh man, I am so torn at this spot, but we can't go through a fantasy draft and not get Ray Davis in here. So just to make sure, I think I have one more pick. Maybe I could have picked him there. I don't know that he would have lasted with you sharks in here with me, but Ray Davis, one of the best stories in this class, of course, but I don't even give a crap about his story. Watch him on the field. He's unbelievable. He's a hard runner and another guy in this class that can do pretty much anything you want him to do. A little undersized, maybe you don't want him to get run over and pass block or whatever, but a dude that is going to run between the tackles, follow blockers, get every open thing that he can and push the pile. He can catch the ball out of the backfield as well. You know, the motor is relentless, team leader type, just so much good about Ray Davis that he has to go in here because I don't think that there's a team that he could go to and not make an impact for. So Ray Davis, one of my favorites in the class. Although the running backs aren't good, there are good players here at the end and giving us some excellent values down here.
I probably would have taken him with my last pick, so there was not a risk of him not going. But
good.
I think it was a good pick by you, Cody. We each have one pick left. Who you got at 3:10?
I wasn't going to take Ray because I love getting him in the fourth round. So I hope, you know, I'm glad I'm not in any leagues with you, so I don't have to worry about that. So hopefully I can get him in the fourth. But I like Ray. I wish I liked him when he was at Vanderbilt. I really wish he wasn't, you know, about to turn 25 years old, because I think, you know, the conversation would be of him. There's seven dudes in the RB1 conversation this year. I think he'd be the eighth if he was maybe 21 and not 25. But I think Ray Davis is interesting. We're at the spot here. I'm at 3:10 where I see about four dudes. I want to say their name, but only one I believe deserves it. And it's a guy that has been getting shunned over the last couple of years out of Clemson, the running back, Will Shipley. I think this guy's going to translate just fine. I don't want to say the expectations were placed too high on him going into Clemson, just saying this is the next McCaffrey, but that's really what happened. And just kind of the build and what happened at Clemson kind of suppressed him, I would say, just a little bit. I think he ends up being a late fourth, early fifth round guy in the NFL draft. My latest mock draft 4.0 over at rosterwatch.com. I actually had these guys going back to back, Ray Davis going to the Ravens and Will Shipley going to the Chiefs to close out round four. I think Shipley would be a great complement to a Pacheco type of a player, good in the receiving game and PPR monster ability if he can grow into a role.
Now, with the 311 Bogman, I'm scrolling through the quarterbacks. I don't see Talia Tungavailoa. Is there a reason that you didn't include him as my beloved Terp?
I only put guys that were invited to the combine.
I'm kidding, of course. Although he is the all-time passing leader in Big Ten history, so I just maybe put a little more respect on Maryland's name. You mentioned, Cody, that you thought we might see one more quarterback go. I'm not sure who you were referring to specifically. I'm going to take Spencer Rattler. It's not a pick I really particularly love. It's more just I want to talk about him because he's somebody who at one point in time was considered, you know, potential number one overall pick. You know, definitely an up and down career, arguably more down than up, you know, at Oklahoma and of course South Carolina. Definitely some physical talent. You will find people that you can talk to that do like Rattler, you know, a decent amount, probably even more so than I do. Like I said, it's not really a pick that I'm like jumping for joy over. But I want to bring him up because I want to talk about one more quarterback. So, Cody, what do you think about Rattler?
I think that's the guy. He did quite a bit to grow at the Senior Bowl. He's been a guy that, again, people always want to point back to the Netflix thing and, you know, he's what he is, right, off the field. But he's grown quite a bit. He showed what he could do early on at Oklahoma. And then when he transferred to South Carolina, he was like, oh, this guy's going to be in a rut. And he's just year by year, he's been stacking days. He's been stacking games, stacking years. And I think he's in a good spot now to walk into a team. And I'm not saying he's going to get an opportunity on day one, but I think he's going to get an opportunity to sit as a number two in 2024. And I think that's going to only continue to help his career arc. I'm a fan of Spencer Rattler.
Bogman, who are you wrapping us up with? Or do you have any thoughts on Rattler?
Yeah, I do. And here's the thing is, and I already know where he's going. Just if you guys, I mean, put everything on him going to Denver, right? Who has worked with a short quarterback before and turned him into one of the best of all time? It's Sean Payton. So I was doing a mock draft the other day and I got to Denver in the first and I was like, well, they can't do it here. But I think... No, I think Rattler, I'm not that crazy. I think Rattler is a guy that goes to Denver, and if they don't make a big signing or a big splash, he is the starter by the end of the year for that team, right? And for him, the question is about maturity. Again, I don't give a crap. He was 18. Who wasn't a little jerk when they were 18 and in high school, especially if you have that much fame, you have a camera crew filming your dinner with your family. You know what I mean? Of course, the guy was dripping with way too much confidence, right? Got humbled at Oklahoma. He lost the starting gig. He went to South Carolina. The one thing I think he lost at South Carolina was a little bit of that gunslingerness. He would not put the ball in danger at all. I think he needs to uncork it a little bit. I think someone needs to say to him, look, man, you have all the skill. He has the arm strength, right? He can make every throw. Make it. Try to put it in there. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But, I mean, you got to put it up for grabs instead of, you know, there were a couple games. They were losing by, like, three touchdowns. He's not putting the ball up for grabs late. I'm like, what are you doing? You have to at least try. If you throw the pick, whatever. You know, sure, you know, in the stat line, it doesn't look good for this type of stuff. But, come on, you got to put it up. So, I just think he needs a little more confidence. I think he needs someone to build him up. And I think he'll get it if he goes to Denver and Sean Payton. I think that is just my, like, dream landing scenario for him. Just to be right, since I said two more quarterbacks, I'll take Michael Pratt with my last pick here. And I do like Michael Pratt, and he is kind of, you know, he's the opposite of Spencer Rattler, right? Like, he is big. He has the arm strength. He looks like a quarterback, where Rattler is a little bit smaller frame. He's got a lot of experience starting at Tulane. But he's developmental because of the competition that he faced. He didn't face complicated defenses. He went up and beat those guys up. I think when you saw him play against some higher level competition, he had some questions. So I think Michael Pratt, very good quarterback, very good developmental QB, and he has all these great traits. I think he's going to get drafted higher than people expect. And, you know, one of those spots where you kind of there's so many teams looking for a quarterback, but teams that are kind of questioning, you know, New Orleans, maybe Minnesota, what's going on in New England. You know what I mean? This could be your Kirk Cousins where you take RG3 and you take Michael Pratt too, because you got nobody else on your roster. And this is the guy that ends up starting for you. So I think Michael Pratt is going to go. We're in a super flex. QBs are worth more. So let's take a shot here at the end of the third.
Wrapping up round three, Jalen Polk, Marshawn Lloyd, Blake Corum, Dylan Johnson, Audric Estime, Roman Wilson, Jalen Wright, Malik Washington, Ray Davis, Will Shipley, and Spencer Rattler, and then Michael Pratt wrapping things up. Just looking at this positionally, we had 8 quarterbacks, 11 running backs, 2 tight ends. Every other pick was a wide receiver. So again, speaks to the depth of the wide receiver position in this class. Cody, is there anybody that stands out to you that you're maybe a little surprised didn't get drafted? I mean, only the 2 tight ends. I'm intrigued by like a Theo Johnson or a Jaheim Bell, but not in the first 3 rounds probably. I'm not, no Tez Walker, no Johnny Wilson, no Xavier Legette. Who stands out to you as you thought they would go and they didn't?
I'm going to be honest with you, none of these guys really stand out that I think should have went. I think Xavier Legette had some conversations where he would have if he would have shown out at the Senior Bowl. Devontae Walker, I think this is going to be a learning thing for a lot of people where we're coming into the process. A lot of people were mocking him round 1 of the NFL draft. And he's still sitting here on the board going into round 4. Probably my next pick, though, would have been Taj Washington from USC.
Bogman, what do you think? Anybody surprise you?
No, I wish I could have taken Vidal. If this was a little deeper, I would have taken Kamani Vidal. I just love watching him play and breaking all those tackles and everything. I think he's very good talent. I like Thrash. Walker, of course, fell. And I like Brennan Rice, I think, more than a lot of people do as well. It's an unbelievable contested catch guy, Brennan Rice is, for sure. I mean, he's not his dad. And don't expect that. I think that's absurd.
Yeah.
So, but he is a very, very good wide receiver. And Legette and Walker all falling. I mean, I don't know. You know, Walker is so talented. I don't know if he falls this far, but there's so many good wide receivers that if you don't have a good showing in this process, you are going to drop. Doesn't mean you can't be a good NFL player, but because there's so much talent in this class, you know, you falter a little bit and you go from, being in that first round conversation. He was like in the mix with Brian Thomas and Troy Franklin and all those guys before. And now he's not even being drafted ahead of Pearsall and a lot of these guys. So, a big fall is a little surprising. Him and Legette coming in smaller and also not having a good Senior Bowl week. You can just tell, when you're splitting hairs, They get split pretty big when there's this much talent. So the combine is going to separate these guys even more. You're going to see even more tiny hair separations and some guys surging and falling in that process as well.
Cody, we'll get out of here in a second, but just quickly, any final kind of overall thoughts in the class as we head into the combine here?
I think you just take advantage of this wide receiver class. Next year's running back class is loaded. And I think in Superflex, of course, you're going to get your quarterbacks early. And just a reminder, as you watch us get through all of these picks, if you do have those early picks, it's okay to take quarterback over receiver because the depth here, you'll be able to double or triple tap the wide receiver position later and feel really good about walking away, like you guys said, with a Ladd McConkey, with a Javon Baker, with a Brendan Rice. You know, get a multitude of these guys that have ability in the NFL and you'll be happy.
He is Cody Carpentier from Roster Watch. Thank you so much for joining us today, Cody, filling in for Fitz. Thank you everybody for tuning in, making it through all the way this mock draft. For Cody and Bogman, I am Ryan Wormley. We'll see you again next week. Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Football Podcast. If you love the show, the best free way to support us is by leaving a positive review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Follow us on X, Instagram, and TikTok @Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/Fantasy Pros.